at Film Radio. I'm Matt McCucci from the 60th Cork Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Daisy Asquith, presenting the film After the Dance. Thanks very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
I'd like to ask you if you could tell our listeners a little bit about the film and what it talks about.
Well, the film is the first film I've ever made, which is actually about my own family. It's very personal. My mother was adopted after being conceived illegitimately in County Clare in the 40s when that was not acceptable. And my grandmother had to run away and have her baby in secret. When my mother grew up and I subsequently grew up, the curiosity became too much for us. And we decided to go back to Ireland and find our family.
Yes. But nevertheless, it's a very personal documentary. So I was just wondering, what really did, was there ever a moment when you decided, okay, this story would be really good to like make a film about?
Yeah, I think I always knew, because it was one of the first things that I tried to film, actually, when I was only about 17, and had my first kind of little VHS camcorder. We're talking about the 80s, unfortunately. and I tried to film my mum's first meeting with some of her siblings back then. And they hated it, and I tried, and they hated it. And it was rather good training for the rest of my career to be kind of dealing with that with my own family. And some of the footage that I did manage to record at that time, 20-odd years ago, is in the film. So it feels like it's taken more than 20 years to make it. And actually, I think, you know, the main thing about that was just having the courage, because, of course, everyone in our family is not too thrilled that I've exposed this scandalous story about us all. They see it as scandalous, of course, I don't. And I had to really stand up to that kind of sense of shame about illegitimacy and about, you know, the secrets that have been kept so long being uncovered.
And I don't know if you agree, but like this shameful kind of aspect of the film is also like examining large portion of the culture of Ireland at the time, and like, you know, social behaviors and patterns. And I was wondering whether that was also like part of the delight in one way of the exploration of this story.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger picture is really important to me. And I, you know, as our film was being finished, the story about 800 baby skeletons being discovered in tomb came out, and I just thought, you know, my goodness, that was so close. That's the bottom line. My mum actually, turns out, was one of the lucky ones that she actually got away. She wasn't drowned in a well. She wasn't brought up in a laundry. And she was adopted by English Catholics and had actually a happy childhood. And her poor mother had to kind of go back and deal with the consequences. But she's one of many, 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 many women that were put through that. Yeah. And to give up your baby is probably one of the most traumatic things, I think, that could happen to anyone who's just become a mother. And she had to deal with that. So we have no kind of bitterness about that. I want the film to be a kind of advocate for her not being ashamed. And I kind of wish she was here so that I could tell her that.
So the film is definitely touches on a lot of serious issues, but it's also, and I have to say this, very entertaining. And part of the reason why that is also because it's so you kind of feel the journey, and the film is actually shaped in the sense that we follow you on this journey. So, I mean, how much did you know was going to happen in the film as you were making it?
That's a really good question, because of course you never really know. But I could not have imagined who I would find. I mean, I really had no clue that they would be so special, so loving, so wise, you know, and beautiful. And when I watch the film back now, I see the first day where we headed down towards the house, and it kind of gives me the shivers, because I just remember thinking, they're going to slam the door in our face and, you know, they're going to hate us. And they didn't. They're just gorgeous people. I was incredibly lucky to find them.
Yeah, and then of course you went to America together, to the States, which would have been an incredibly huge journey too, for even for today's standards for them.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming either.
Yeah.
That came. Johnny found an old letter in a pile of things that belonged to his mother, which, and in the letter there was a, you know, reference to one of his uncles having been over in New York and having a bunch of kids, and we thought, wow, that's, you know, those are our first cousins. And so that was what sent us over there. But yeah, I mean, to find people who are so, I mean, they, you know, they'd say themselves, they like the old ways. They live in a very traditional way that, you know, people lived in Ireland in at the turn of the century, of the last century. And so to take them to Manhattan was really pretty extraordinary, to see them standing in the middle of Times Square.
Yes. That's a great shot, actually. Yeah, I love that. That's one of the shots that I remember the most after watching the film yesterday. And I guess that another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is that you kind of use some archive footage there too to illustrate some of the points that you make in the film. How did you find them?
Yeah, I spent 2 days just trawling through old tapes and reels of film in the Irish Film Archive in Dublin, which was a really enjoyable thing to do. And then, of course, they have to contact each person whose clip you think you might want to use. And so there's quite a long process of clearance for those clips. But I love using archive. I think getting the archive out of its basement, you know, where it lives, and onto the screen is just really exciting.
And this is a personal story, but you would think that, like, it might be easy to make in terms of money. Still, though, it's never really easy to make a documentary or a film. And I was just wondering whether how you managed to, like, gather enough funds together to make sure that you could finish the project and make the project.
Yeah, I mean, funding's always, you know, a storm of XXXX. So on this occasion, I was lucky enough to get BBC Storyville on board quite early, and they were very patient, because it then took me years from when they expressed interest. And so they would sort of like they were drip feeding money rather than putting a lot in at once. But once I was confident I could make it, then they part funded it, and the Irish Film Board came up with the other half of the money, and they were really fantastic as well and really supportive. And I'm hoping to have the same funders and the same team for my next film.
Well, now going back to the actual challenges of telling a story that is so personal, because this is an aspect that really interests me, was there any moment in particular where you felt like you were going too far, maybe, in exposing some of your family's history?
Yeah, I felt like that was a very delicate balance to strike all the way through. And there were moments when my mum said, I just can't do this anymore. I don't want to do it. She was frightened. She was nervous. She was embarrassed. There were many, you know, or she was upset that, you know, it was bothering other people. Some of our family were really cross with us for making this film. And every time that happened, and it was really only her that, I mean, of course, she's at the centre of it, and she's probably in the most difficult situation. But I would just say, okay, we won't do it. And without hesitation, every time. And because I thought, if she doesn't want to do it, then I can't do it anyway. So there's no point in me pushing or chasing or, you know, trying to pressure anyone into this. It just has to happen because we're all on board. So, and then a few weeks would go by, or on one occasion it was a few months, and then she would say, you know what, we have to do it. Because if we don't tell this story, we're kind of perpetuating the shame. We're kind of saying it's okay to stay quiet because you're ashamed. And I don't believe that. And it's still hard for me to say it, but I've taught myself to say it over and over again to myself. Yeah. You don't believe that it's right to be ashamed of your story, so why not tell it? And and my Aunt Siobhan was incredibly brave and courageous about encouraging us to push on with it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'd like to almost add that, like, it's great that you told this story, also because there may be people that can connect with it in a very personal way. So it's very important, I think, for these types of films to exist. Which leads me to my next question. Is there anything you're working on at the moment that you would like to talk about? Maybe some future projects, maybe some future ambitions of yours that you might have?
Yeah, I had only one ambition this time last year, and that was to persuade the singer John Grant to allow me to make a film about him. I was a huge fan of his, but I really, you know, of course, it's in a way a similar subject. He's brilliant at talking about shame, because he comes from, you know, a kind of very strict Christian background in Colorado, and he now has to kind of somehow square that with his sexuality and the fact that he's HIV positive. And I just thought he was incredible. He's one of the most articulate and interesting artists that there are today, I think. Yeah. And and now I'm doing it. I was in Iceland last week, and he's allowing me to make a really intimate film.
Excellent. We'll be looking forward to seeing it then, or hear more about it. And thanks very much once again for joining us to talk about your wonderful film, After the Dance, and pleasure meeting you, and congratulations once again.
Pleasure's mine, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.